May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed his way, he looked up in that tree. And he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today." Wow, I knew you guys would jump in. That was wonderful. That was great. That's a whole lot better than when I remember as a little kid when I first heard that song in Sunday school. And when I first heard it, I actually was pretty unimpressed with it. Not a whole lot, if you think about just that little bit of the song. Goes on in the story the way that the song describes it. You have some short guy who climbs up a tree in order to see Jesus better, and then Jesus spots him and invites himself to dinner, and that's about it. it has about all the plot of a film school assignment to produce an art piece about ordinary life. So it's kind of like singing a song about your usual morning routine with no hiccups or curveballs thrown in. But if we read the story the way that St. Luke presents it, as he describes it, it's fuller. It's much more nuanced, much more potent. We learned that Zacchaeus was a tax collector who, if we do remember from that same Sunday school time in our lessons then, they were notorious in that culture as collaborators with the Roman oppressors. And often they used their position as a means to charge a little bit extra on top to keep for themselves a few points above the base tax rate. Traitors, thieves, and untouchable as official imperial operatives. That was the common perception of tax collectors at the time. So Zacchaeus is described as a short, rich tax collector. If we're picturing Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones at this point, we might not be too far off the mark. And because of the crowd trying to get a glimpse of Jesus, he climbs up a tree to make sure that he too can see our Lord. The moment Jesus nears the tree, he stops, looks up at Zacchaeus, and informs him that he's coming to the tax collector's house for the customary Jewish hospitality of the time, a meal and a bed. And Zacchaeus is ecstatic. I don't know about you if you have someone to just decide to invite themselves to your house without your prior knowledge, but Zacchaeus was pretty happy about it. And so he rushes down to get things ready for Jesus. But the crowd is grumbling. Where does Jesus get off sharing a plate and a roof with someone so notorious? Doesn't he know it's bad cultural form for a good Jew, a rabbi no less, to hobnob with people of questionable moral character? Of course, as happens in a large crowd, whispers in the mouths of many hardly go unheard. But that doesn't deter Zacchaeus at all. He makes a very public, very generous gesture of repentance, even going so far as to planning to pay back quadruple anything that he has charged people over and above the taxes that they paid. And for that, Jesus commends him and restores his dignity publicly by calling him a son of Abraham and broadcasts that divine rescue has finally come to Zacchaeus' home. This is a far richer story than the mere snippet that we hear in the children's song. It's a story of prayer, but not kneeling with a Bible and a prayer book kind of prayer. It's a story about prayer in action. Prayer that moves, prayer that does stuff, prayer that interacts dynamically with Jesus. Zacchaeus is active, as is our Lord. Zacchaeus is actively looking for Jesus. Jesus calls to him. He responds. Jesus commands his hospitality. He rejoices to do so. Jesus inspires him, and he makes amends for his past wrongs. And then Jesus honors him and restores him back to the community of the faithful. It doesn't sound like prayer. It seems more like regular human interaction. People talking, people doing stuff, people feeling emotions. And that's exactly what good prayer should be. I remember learning two very different kinds of prayer before God drew me and rooted me in the Episcopal tradition. I learned about very grandiose public prayer in front of everyone else at church, singing, emoting, waving my hands, speaking in tongues, and very secret, quiet time prayer with the Bible by myself, where I read a little bit and then told God my laundry list of what I wanted him to do. I had no concept of prayer as activity that we see in Zacchaeus, or prayer as a corporate event even while alone, as our prayer book models for us, or even as prayer as genuine conversation with God, where I listened at least as much as I talked. But Zacchaeus shows us how to make prayer part of daily life. We should make a habit of searching for Jesus' presence every single day. We ought to be honest and genuine about who we are, both before God and others. We're invited to respond to Jesus with real emotions, not whipped up frenzies because the congregation wants to see a happy face on one hand, nor with frozen, chosen sobriety that emulates a 19th century caricature of holiness before God and neighbor. We should have such an open heart and life before God that we welcome Jesus into any nook or cranny of our lives, as well as respond with solid repentance when the Holy Spirit puts a finger on some less than perfect area of our faith or practice. And when we live our prayers out loud, indeed as much as word, we will enjoy the favor of our loving Lord and Father, who smiles at us and takes pleasure in us, his sons and daughters. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills, that we may be wholly yours, utterly dedicated unto you. And then use us, we pray you, as you will, and always to your glory and the welfare of your people. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.